sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made, while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Let's pray. Father, you are a wonderful God and a good God, a gracious God, Lord, and you show us mercy on a daily basis. Lord, we thank you for this day that we choose to celebrate mothers, the impacts that they've had in our lives, Lord. I pray, Father, that we open your word and examine this scripture, Lord, and the impact that one woman had on these people, that we could learn from her example what it is to be a godly woman, Lord, and to be a godly Christian, to follow after you, Lord, to seek you, to pursue you, to do your work on a daily basis. Father, I pray that you would remove any sin from my heart and my mind right now, Lord, so that I may speak freely, and that you would use me in a mighty way. Father, I pray that we would all focus our thoughts and our attentions on you alone right now, Lord. All distractions removed, all other thoughts, so that we can freely worship you right now, Father, and hear from your word and apply these things to our lives so that we can impact the community around us and spread the gospel. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and champion. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as I was thinking about what to preach on Mother's Day, it's kind of a different thing for a man to stand up and talk about a woman and a mother, as I am not one, but there are many of you here that are. And some of the thoughts that crossed my mind is that everybody here in attendance, at one time or another, has or has had a mother. All of you came from your mother, and all of you have different types of impacts and relationships that you received from your mother. Regardless of what situation you may have grown up with, we can learn some things from the Bible about women and their impact that they had on the lives of others around them. So this message isn't just necessarily geared towards mothers in the audience, but also towards all the women, and the men can take something from this as well. So I pray that I have everybody's ear as we go through this, and I trust that I do. Just to begin, one of the things I want to talk about today is the current condition of the world. And one of the things that I had kind of put down here was that many feminists and activists today blame Christianity for the plight of women in the world. If you read newspapers or watch the news, you'll see that Christianity is depicted as archaic, old-fashioned, and suppresses women on a daily basis. And they point to biblical passages that seem to limit women in leadership roles and consider it evidence that Christianity is holding them down. And this is nothing more than historical revisionism. It's not the truth. No other religious system in history has elevated women in society like Christianity has. Paul praised women in his ministry on a regular basis. Examples are Phoebe in Romans 16:2, Euodia and Syntyche in Philippians 4:3, and they're both perfect examples. Consider the way that Jesus related to women and the ways that he spoke with them. He showed them equal love and respect that he showed to men. It was women who ministered to him during his life. Oftentimes we'll see in the New Testament that it was the women who went to minister him before any other man did. Women stayed to watch the crucifixion. All the men had disappeared. Women came to the tomb to anoint his dead body. By this, women were the first to witness the empty tomb and spread the word that Jesus had risen. Jesus recognized the worth of women, appreciated their efforts, and received their following. I'm not here to raise women higher than men or vice versa, or to make men seem bad. I'm here to just proclaim to you today the story of Dorcas and the impact that she had. Our passage today speaks of a great woman, a woman so great in her community that her fellow believers could not bear to lose her to death. And from this passage, we'll see the importance of our Christian labors in life and in eternity, and how that we are known by what we do. So our theme today is, why did God record this brief account of Tabitha's life? It's a very short passage. We just read the whole thing, and there's no other mention of her in the Bible. But she is listed here, and we've read the entirety of it. And the reason God gave us this account, our first point, is that revealed devotion worthy of emulation. We have a picture of a person here who shows us what true devotion is like. and how we can emulate ourselves after it. Adoniram Judson said, "The motto of every missionary, whether preacher, printer, or schoolmaster, ought to be devoted for life." And that should be our motto as well. Are you devoted to Jesus Christ with your life, through your life, on a daily basis? And this is fitting in her description, first and foremost. The name Dorcas and Tabitha actually are similar ways of saying the same name, and they have a meaning, and that meaning is female gazelle. How many women in this audience today would like to be named after an animal? Well, I guess that would depend on the animal that you're named after, wouldn't it? And I won't tread any further on that point. Okay? But for her, this actually denoted her physical beauty. It was a testament to the physical beauty that she carried. And it's also an indication here that her deeds and her heart are what actually made her beautiful. So it wasn't just her outward appearance that made her beautiful to others, but there was a certain air of personality to her, the way she carried herself, the way that she did for others, that impacted those around her, that everybody knew that she was a beautiful person inside and out. You could also see this in her deeds. Dorcas was said in the passage that we read that she was good of full works. Is it said of you today that you are full of good works? Can that be said of me? That's a question we should ask ourselves. Am I full of good works or am I full of selfishness? Just to illustrate that, we have the idea of workers. There's three kinds of workers, and I'll illustrate this with the idea of a piano mover. And I actually grew up knowing a piano mover. The first kind of piano mover is one who gets behind and pushes. They stand behind it, and they use all their body strength and everything they have to push. They use any leverage that they have to move that piano. The second person is the person who pulls, drags it, and guides it through doorways. And the third one is the one who grabs the stool. So I ask you today, what type of worker are you? What type of piano mover are you? Are you a person who is filled with good works? Or are you the guy running around grabbing the stools? Good works permeated her character and her function. She was said to be full of alms deeds as well. And alms deeds is merciful pity and giving of oneself for the benefit of the less fortunate. That's a powerful testimony of any person who gives of themselves to the needy, to those who are less fortunate. Is that something that we're doing on a regular basis? And I have a note here that her deeds made her beautiful. Modern Christians do not make it a priority to do good deeds. We often find ourselves wrapped up in what we're doing correctly, our theology, and what we're avoiding, instead of focusing on the actual acts of goodness that we can do for others in the name of Jesus Christ. An illustration for that is that the idea of a mother who goes to a psychologist to discuss managing her stress. She's all out of sorts. Her children are making her crazy. Husband, well, you know the story, most of you mothers here. Okay? And so she goes to the psychologist, and he says, let's see, you spend 50% of your day working, 50% of your day taking care of your husband, and then 50% of your day taking care of your kids. I think I see the problem. Okay, Dorcas gave herself above and beyond her capacity. And the only way that you can give of yourself above and beyond your capacity is through the power of Jesus Christ. Apart from that, you will never do it. You will burn out and fizzle. But if you have Christ in your life, you can give more than you ever expected. We also see this in her death. It says in the verse, she was sick and died. And when that happened, her good works ceased with her. The charity and labor was gone, and many felt the void that she left. God intended to show us that a woman of devotion can have a tremendous impact. And I think that's the pivotal point of this verse here, is that when she passed away, there was a definite void that was left. It was felt. People knew it. Another reason why God gave us this account is so that we could realize the desire it created in others. Does God create desire in you today to serve Him, to worship Him, and to do for Him? And this is seen in their hope. The disciples heard that Peter was nearby and actually sent for him. Why would they have done this? Well, they had heard that he had actually been able to raise somebody from the dead through the power of Christ before. What great faith that they had, that they knew that there's power in Jesus Christ. That this person has passed away, and there's hope beyond that. Send for Peter, bring him here. We don't know what he'll do, but we hope. There's hope in us that we can have that. So this is an example of faith and hope in our lives, that one day, when we leave this life, we will see Christ again. He will bring us to Him. Okay? And that is a hope that you cannot have apart from Jesus Christ. If you are living this life apart from Him, you are hopeless. The Bible says that you're hopeless, that you have no hope. But you do have hope in Jesus Christ if you claim Him as your own. They were willing to go to any length to get her back because she was too wonderful to lose. We also see it in their heartache, and it says in the verse that the widows were weeping. And this isn't just sad tears. This is torment that they were feeling over this. It's lamenting. It's mourning. There was a definite void that was left there. There was a distinct void left by her death, and it was felt by her friends and those who she worked with. We also see it in their heritage. And you'll see in the verse here, in verse number 39, Peter rose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And it's inferred here that Dorcas was making these coats and garments for those who didn't have anything. This was part of her ministry, was to provide for people who had nothing. This was her almsgivings and her deeds. And the women brought these things to Peter, and they said, "See, look what she has done. This is everything that she's done for those that have been in her life. There's evidence of Jesus Christ in her life. You can see it. We have all these things to show you. She was a wonderful person. You don't just have to take our word for it. Look at her life and see what she's done." That's something that I would like to be said of me someday. Would you like that to be said of you, that people can point to your life and say, that person loved Jesus Christ, and everything that they did was focused on Christ and others in their lives? And this is a beautiful picture of them putting her godly works on display. And they were saying, look at all she did. This shows you her love and her labor. The third point is the Lord gave us this account to motivate us to replicate the difference servanthood brings in life. And we see that in two examples, the first being Peter. And it says, Peter put them all forth. And Peter goes into this room and he asks all the women to leave the room. Everybody's out of the room except him and the deceased Tabitha or Dorcas. He requested privacy to tend to the matter. And he did not make a spectacle of himself in order to serve God. And I think it's easy for us to fall into the trap oftentimes of wanting to receive recognition and praise and honor for our service to God. And we see here in this passage that Peter wanted nothing to do with that. And that should be our goal as well, that when we do for the Lord, we do it as unto the Lord and to the Lord alone. We serve people for that purpose. We do not look for any type of praise or honor from man, but from God alone. And you'll see in Matthew 6:3, just to support this, it says, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." In Matthew 6:6, it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So Peter initially goes in and tells everybody to leave, and he engages in prayer. Nobody else around. And he knew that the source of his power was the Lord and the Lord alone. So he didn't just walk into the room and decide, I'm going to raise somebody from the dead. No, he drew his power from Jesus Christ. It was not Peter's power, but our Lord's. And so he immediately went and got on his knees and sought the Lord to receive power from him. And then once he do, he tells Dorcas to stand up. He takes her by the hand and he leads her to the people and he presents her to everybody alive. What an amazing picture that is. Here's this woman who had this tremendous impact on all those around her, and they're almost hopeless that she's gone. Peter goes in and draws upon the Lord, tells her to stand up, and she stands. She opens her eyes and she sees him and immediately gets up. And it's almost this image that she was already ready to go again. What can I do, Peter? Well, how can I serve? Let me get back in there and start serving people again. Is that your heart? Is that your attitude? That you come to church on Sunday, you receive from the Lord, and you're ready to go out there and face the world and serve people and have an impact in your community for the gospel and for Jesus Christ? Are we going out there and are we spreading that good news to those around us? We also see it, as mentioned in Dorcas' example, that she opened her eyes and sprung to life through the power of Jesus Christ. She was obedient in her life, and now she was even obedient in her death. She was told to get up and walk, and she obeyed at the command through the power of Jesus Christ. And she sat up as if ready to spring back into service and go right back to doing what she was doing before. Finally, the fourth one is that the Holy Spirit wants you and me to revel in the design of God for each of our lives. Revel in the design of God for each in our lives. And we see this in the publicity of the event that took place here. And it says, "And it was known all throughout Joppa." You see, God's work publicizes itself. It doesn't necessarily need us to go around and tell everybody. People see it and they talk about it. If you are a Christian and you are living that way in and around your workplace, people are going to take notice. They're going to see something is in you that's different. It's not that you're faking it. It's not that you're trying. It's natural. It's because that's the life that Christ has put in you. That you're behaving a certain way, that you're speaking a certain way, that you have certain standards and morals and principles that guide you on a daily basis. That's not normal in this world today. And you can only have that through the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that today, today is the day for you to come to that realization, to acknowledge that and to align yourself with Christ and say, that is the true way. Christianity, before it was called Christianity, was simply called the way. The Roman emperors wanted to destroy the people who were called the people of the way. And then later on, it was called Christianity as a derogatory term because people were like Jesus Christ. Well, that's what I want to be called. I want people to say that is a man of the way. That is a person that is like Jesus Christ. That's what Dorcas was. There's no need for modern or worldly means to publicize Jesus Christ. It's still used by word of mouth. Some people who run businesses, they rely on word of mouth advertising, and it still works very well to this day. Well, Jesus Christ's gospel still works by word of mouth. It's communicating that principle to people using your voice, talking to people, sharing the gospel, the good news with them. Yeah, you can post stuff on Facebook if you want, but I still find that a face-to-face confrontation with somebody, telling them about Christ, has much more of an impact because they can see in me something that they can't see on a computer screen. They can see the example in my life, I hope, and I pray that they know that the way that I guide my life and my principles and everything that I do is in line with Jesus Christ, and my words back that up. If God works in a mighty way, people will hear about it. We often hear sometimes on Sunday mornings when we do our announcements, we tell you what some of the missionaries are doing. And I hope that quickens you and makes you alive, and you hear that because there's wonderful works going on in other parts of the world that your dollars are supporting. And when God does amazing things in people's lives, we hear about it because it's catchy, because people want to hear that, because it's something good. There's still good things in this world, and God is working through them. Last Wednesday, my wife gave her personal testimony to the teens. Her testimony is something that is powerful simply because God worked through her life. That communicates to people a truth that they need to hear and understand, and it's good news, and it doesn't need to be spread any other way except through speaking. We also see this in their perception. And it says, and many believed in the Lord. Good deeds lead to others being saved. There's a starting point in a relationship with somebody. You can tell somebody the gospel and the good news, and they will hear, and some will receive. But others need to see it before they believe. They need to see it in your life. And there is a response that can happen when we do that. Seeing the power of God lived out in the lives of others is a powerful testimony. See, God has a design and a purpose for you, and it always involves sharing the gospel. It always involves sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. He may have you doing something that's not directly related to service here in the church, but whatever you're doing, I promise you that it involves impacting others for Jesus Christ, because that's his heart. His desire is to see others changed for him. His purpose for us is to be evidence of the reality of Christ in our lives. And we can also see that in his providence, and it says at the end of the passage here that Peter tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. And this is actually the place that Peter had the vision of opening the gospel to the Gentiles. Good works are an ever-expanding wave. When you do good works, they impact the people around you. If you're a believer and you're a Christian and you're not doing things for Jesus Christ, you're belying what you actually are. There's something missing from the critical aspect of what you are as a Christian. And we look at this passage with Tabitha or Dorcas, and we see that she had a tremendous impact on the people around her simply because of her service. Not because necessarily she spoke up and said a lot of things, but because she simply lived out her faith on a daily basis. Some of you mothers that are here today, you probably don't receive very much praise for what you do on a daily basis. But there's an impact that you have. Your children will someday realize, wow, my mom was right. She did good things. She raised me right. They will be the testimony of your parenthood one day. So you don't have to speak up for yourself. There'll be evidence of what you've done. The same can be said for us as believers. If we truly live out our faith before the world, there will be evidence of that. People will see that. They'll be impacted for it. So I ask you today, there's two kinds of people in the church this morning. There are those who listen to this story and they hear it and they understand that this woman had an impact on those around them, that she was a Christian, that she had Christ in her life, and that was the only way. And you can relate to that and you understand, and you view this as a challenge to you. And then there are those of you here today that hear this story and you can't understand this because you don't know Christ in your life. Okay? For both types of people in here today, God has something for you specifically for this. For those that don't know Jesus Christ, I pray that today is the day that you would trust him, that you would come to that saving knowledge. Because like Dorcas in this passage, you can have an impact on the people around you. Child, man, woman, it doesn't matter. She's an example for all of us. But today is the appointed day for you to trust Christ as your Savior. I pray that that happens today. I pray that God moves in your heart in that way. So I ask that you'd all bow your heads for prayer right now.